Praise the Lord. Thank you, man. What a blessing. How long you guys been working on that? Thank you. And I appreciate that. And I wondered if that's what you were doing. And that is a blessing to me. Thank you so much. I mentioned that in a message. And they were listening. Praise the Lord. And I got a special, my wife and I, she didn't know about it yet, but a special gift from our teens, and went in and they presented us with a nice card and a gift certificate to one of our favorite places for steak. Amen. And I appreciate that. Thank you so much, teens. And thank you for the song. Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Please, 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 please do not have a cell phone in your hand. Do not. Seriously, all right? I mean, we're in church. This is more important than anything going on anywhere else, I guarantee. And I know many of you have recorded the game, and that's great. That's fine, and you'll enjoy that later on if somebody doesn't spoil it. There's always somebody wanting to spoil it. But anyway, a lot of parties, a lot of wild parties going on. The Pearsons, Brother Craig Pearson, wild, wild group. I'll tell you, I don't know how Patty puts up with all that. And I guess Brother Moorback is having a party as well. And who knows what all is going to happen tonight. Sharon Glover's having a very wild party at her place. She actually was for the Baltimore Colts years ago. I said, she told me about the Super Bowl and mentioned them winning. I said, who was her quarterback? She goes, I'm not sure who the quarterback, but Johnny Unitas was a good player, and it's going to be one of those kind of parties. But anyway, I'll tell you, it's just good to be in church and good to be with God's people, and praise the Lord. But Job tells us something here that is so true, and the title of the message right here in the text, Job 5 and verse 6, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. The title of the message, Man is Born Unto Trouble. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts tonight. Give us exactly what we need. And Lord, meet with us, please. Before we have the Lord's Supper, prepare us for that. Help us to have our minds on you. And Lord, show us what we need to change in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Man is born unto trouble, Job says. Now, Job says this in the midst of trouble. And actually, Job is not saying this. Eliphaz is saying this. But it's in the book of Job, and it is during Job's trouble. And man is born unto trouble. And had not man sinned, then man would not have trouble. Amen. Isn't that hard to imagine? If man in the Garden of Eden, or any men, if men did not sin, they would not have trouble. But because of sin, now there's trouble. Man is born unto trouble. Trouble's going to come. I mean, it's just a matter of when. It's a matter of where. It's a matter of how. And man is born unto trouble. Look at Job 14 and verse 1. Job 14, 1. And the Bible says here that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And, of course, a reference there to being born of a woman. And of course, the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, they sinned. And because of that, we looked at Romans 5:12 this morning. Let's go ahead and look at it again just to kind of build the truth here. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Keep your place in Job. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And because of sin, we got in trouble. And we are born unto trouble. Man is born unto trouble. Isaiah 48 and verse 8. Isaiah 48 and verse 8. Again, just kind of building the case for the truth here that man is born unto trouble. Isaiah 48 and verse 8. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. And because of that, we're born unto trouble. Because of sin, we are going to have trouble. Because of our iniquity, the result is trouble. And there's always going to be trouble. The Bible talks about times of troubles. The Bible refers to the tribulation and different end time events as times of trouble, times of tribulation. But the truth of the matter is, in our lives as Christians, we are simply born unto trouble. And it's very, very clear in the Scripture, very clear that man is born unto trouble. I want to show you some things about this and just go through it quickly here tonight. And I think it'll help us to understand a little bit of the phrase that is given here in the book of Job, that man is born unto trouble. Number one, I want you to see the permission for trouble. And there is a permission that has to be given. Job chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." And we know the story, how that the devil had to get permission from God to do anything that he did to Job. We know the trial that Job went through. He lost everything that he had other than his life. But understand this, before anything could happen to Job, before the devil could do anything, before anything could take place in Job's life, God had to give his permission. There will be no trouble in any of our lives. There will be no kind of calamities at all without God saying, it's okay. This can happen. There will be no trouble in your life except that God says, it's okay. You can have that trouble. Chapter 2, verse 6. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." You know, right in the midst of God's permission of allowing the devil to do whatever he is, whatever he will to Job, God says, but here's a stipulation. Here's something you can't do. Here's something that I'm not going to allow you to do. And imagine now, the devil, he would have loved to kill Job, but he couldn't, because God said, you can do anything you want to him, but you have to save his life. Now, God gave his permission. There is no trouble outside of the permission of God Almighty. He is watching over it all. He can certainly put a stop to all trouble and any trouble. And in reference to Job, you say, you know, I don't know how a man could go through what he went through, but God knew he could go through that. Or he would not have gone through that. There was permission for trouble. And you know, we have trouble in our lives. And if you don't have trouble, you will have trouble sometime. It is coming. Trouble is inevitable. Man is born unto trouble. Because of our sin, there's going to be trouble. And we'll look at some different kinds of troubles. But understand this. God gives his permission for trouble. Whether it's chastening, God okays it. God said, this is right. This is just. This is what I will allow. Whether it's reaping what we sow, God can control all that. God, hey, is not God merciful at times? Is not God gracious at times? You know, I always think of David and when David had committed his sin, and it was a wicked sin of adultery and murder. But David, the little baby that was born to Bathsheba, he knew of his sin, and now the baby's dying. And David said, well, who can tell? Who can tell whether God will let that little baby live? Who can tell whether God will be merciful? Who can tell whether God will be gracious? But God said, no. That will have to happen in David's life. I'm just saying that whatever the trouble is, God is in control as far as giving his permission. You say, preacher, I cannot take any more. Oh, yes, you can take more. Because God has given his permission for whatever it is. And if you can't take it, then you'll not have any more, because you've reached the place where God knows that you can't take it. The permission for trouble. Number two is the prediction of trouble. And the Bible says here in the book of Job, very, very clearly, there is no question about it. It says the sparks fly upward. I mean, it is inevitable. Just like if you ever have a campfire or something, and maybe you stir that up a little bit, maybe poke a stick in there, and the sparks just start flying up. And man having trouble, that's just like those sparks going up. I mean, they are going to go up, and you're going to have trouble, and I'm going to have trouble. There's going to be trouble in our lives as the sparks fly upward. It is predictable. It's going to happen. No question about it. You know, we live in a day where the popular big churches today are preaching everything but this. You know, hey, have fun. It's going to all be fun and games and boy, just do your own thing and everything's happy and there's no problems. And all the people are sitting there thinking, why do I have so many problems? You know, why am I the one that has all the problems? The truth of the matter is everybody has problems. You know, I'm not going to stand up here and say to you, I have no problems. I'm not going to stand up here and say, their trouble doesn't visit my life. I don't talk about it all the time. We need to put on a smile many times and we need to rejoice in the Lord always, but we all have trouble. Everybody does. And it's inevitable. And you say, boy, things are going good now. Praise God. And that's wonderful. But there's some trouble coming. It's inevitable. Not only is there permission for trouble, but there's a prediction of trouble. It is going to happen. Acts 1:7, Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. And I like that because if you knew what was coming, you'd quit. Honestly, when we went to Bible college, I had no idea of some of the troubles I was going to face. I had no idea. I'm saying, Brother Rob, honestly, I thought they were going to think I was the greatest thing that ever came there. I did. It was amazing. You know, I thought, well, you know, we're older, been married a while, we're smart. And I had no idea some of the trouble I was going to have. I had no idea what financial trouble was. I didn't know what that was about. I learned. I had no idea how God would take such a thing as trains. And waiting for the trains as they would stop at the caboose and then back up. As I sat there and yelled at the train. I still remember the day clearly that I looked over at my wife and she was being very patient, but I could tell she was not happy. And she said, honey, I don't think the train hears you, but I do. I'm telling you, God spoke to my heart about that and I learned some things with some of the trouble. Many times I remember going to class and getting stuck at that train and it starting to rain. And down in Pensacola, Florida, when it rains, it doesn't just rain. It is buckets of water. And I mean, you know, you go to class baptized. And I honestly did not plan on those kinds of troubles. But you know, now I look back and I think, those are so piddly. You know, those are such little troubles. Some of you that have been to Bible college, you remember what you thought was big? It looks so little now, doesn't it? Yeah. But you know what? It's inevitable. It's going to happen. The prediction of trouble, it's as sure as the sparks fly upward. and it's going to happen. There's no question about it. Man one time was having trouble. He told the preacher, he said, you know, it's enough to make me lose my religion. The preacher said, seems to me like it'd be enough to make you use your religion. And you know what? Sometimes that's why we have trouble. Number one, the permission for trouble. Number two, the prediction of trouble. Trouble. Number three, the period of trouble. It's always a certain time of trouble. Job was just over a year, or just under a year, I believe it was, just under a year. Jesus was 40 days temptation in the wilderness. I mean, you know, it's never going to be too long. There's always a beginning, but guess what? There's always an ending. You know, I watch folks and I counsel folks that are in trouble. And no matter what the trouble, you can just think of any bad thing that we would call bad anyway in somebody's life. And I counsel with them. And sometimes I counsel with them for a long period of time. Sometimes it's not a long period of time. But it's always that trouble and that tough thing. And many times they'll say, I just don't see an end to this thing. And then maybe a year later, year and a half later, 2 years later, wow, I see it. I see the end. Praise God, It's a, look, every time, if there's a beginning, there is an ending. And the time is set by God Almighty. The period of time, whatever it's going to be, is set by God Almighty. Huh? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, everything, there's a season. And the same, that's the way it is with our troubles. That's exactly how it is. There's a season. You say, oh, this economy, boy, it's going to be bad for... No, it's not. It's not always going to be bad because in my Father's house are many mansions. I know it's not always going to be bad because someday I'm going to be on streets paved with gold. I know it's not always going to be bad because He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And amen, when I get to heaven, T-bone a day. Glory to God. Hey, what else are you going to do with the cattle? Okay, we'll milk a few, praise God. But, well, anyway, some of you feel bad about that. You don't think we ought to eat, Bessie. But I'm just, you know, hey, listen, it's not going to be bad forever. Unless you're lost. Your trouble may be a day. It may be a week. It may be a month. It may be for years. You know, I think about my wife, and she was injured 25 years ago? It'll be 20 years, okay? It seems like it's been 25, 30 years. But 20 years ago, in August, she was injured. She's been in pain ever since. And it's been trouble. And yet, boy, we've seen some great things come out of that. And I would not want that on anybody. And if we went back to the day before, we'd have done everything we could to stop that. But you know, our God knows best. And that time, however long it is, I remember when Dr. Jack Hiles and Dr. Tom Williams anointed my wife with oil, and I believed with all my heart that she would be healed like that. And I had fasted for a week. I think she was fasting. We were waiting for that day, believing with all our hearts God was going to heal her. And I did. I thought, sure, as soon as that prayer was said, she'd jump up and be healed. But she wasn't. And she hasn't been. 20 years. That's trouble. That's trouble. But you know what? It will end. It will end. Oh, we keep looking. We tried everything. I don't know anybody that's tried more than we've tried. But you know what? It will end someday. Because one day she's going to be in heaven and she's going to have a perfect body. And there will be no pain. Now listen to me. Our troubles, there's a period of trouble. There's a beginning. And that's what we always focus on. Understand this. It will end. The trouble will end. The permission for trouble, the prediction of trouble, the period of trouble. Number four is the path of trouble. Trouble takes a lot of paths. I mean, trouble comes in a lot of forms. First of all, there's the trouble of sorrow, like Job was going through. Can you imagine what Job went through? Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time. I preach a lot about Job. But can you imagine the sorrow that Job went through as he watched his children die? Can you imagine the sorrow? He lost all of his wealth and his possessions. I mean, everything's gone. And then his own health is his body is touched. And Satan was allowed to touch his body with disease. And I just can't imagine the sorrow. The Bible says Job sat in the ash heap and scraped his sores with a potsherd and just sat there and never said a word. Have you ever had that much sorrow? You just couldn't talk. Have you ever had so much sorrow where you just had nothing to say? There was nothing to talk about. That was Job. Sorrow. Again, let me remind you, man is born unto trouble, and that is the result of sin. Sin brings death. Sin brings pain. Sin brings sorrow. But in Job's case, he had sorrow because God said, consider my servant Job. Sorrow. We all face it. We've all stood there at the cemetery. I don't know how many have literally prayed in a hospital room for a heart monitor to keep beeping. Because you recognize that little beep was the heartbeat of somebody you love very dearly. And you beg God, please keep it going. God, please. And you'd hear it slow down just a little bit. And your heart would race as you said, oh God, please, please keep it beating. God, keep them alive. And you watch the numbers and you fret and you're concerned and you pray and you beg God. It's trouble. There's trouble of sorrow. And then, of course, there's trouble of tests. Tests. We need to understand something about tests. God never tempts us to sin. Ever. The Bible says He neither tempteth anyone. He will never tempt you to sin, but He will allow the devil to. Perfect proof of that is the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And Satan came and he tempted him. See, God doesn't tempt us to sin, but God watches to see how we respond. And with the temptation, God is performing a test to see where you are. There's no learning process complete without a test. Just understand that. Next time there's this great temptation, understand, okay, you've just finished a certain grade, you're taking your finals. Whether you go on or not is dependent on this test. Amen. Amen. I remember college, and I remember how important it was. Well, really in college, it wasn't as hard as high school seemed to be to me. But I remember how important it was. Hey, if you want to go on to that next grade, you better pass that test. And I'm telling you, the temptation that the devil gives you, there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Somebody has taken that test. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. And so here's the temptation, and the devil's pulling, and he's pulling on you, and you say, I can't withstand this thing. Wait a minute, you can withstand it, or you wouldn't be going through it. It's kind of like looking down at the test in English, and you look down and say, I've never seen any of this before. Oh, yes, you have. Well, your eyes saw it, but maybe you weren't paying attention. I've got news for you. Whatever the temptation is in your life, you can pass the test. You can say, get thee hence, Satan. You can say, I will not do that. Everybody. Boy, that's trouble, though. You ever feel that temptation is greater than other times? You ever feel that, it's like when Jesus said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Do you ever feel like the devil's just got a hold of you? And I mean, you know what? If he does, God said he could. I've had a few spooky things happen to me. I don't ever talk about them, don't plan on talking about it now. But I've had some things happen where the devil was right there. And I've had, but you have to understand, and this is so important to understand. If he was, then God knew about it. By the way, God's right here. You say, I don't like that kind of stuff. Yeah, I tell you what, but if it happens to you, you can handle it. You can, and you can overcome. You say, but the pressure to give in, to give in to discouragement, to give in to sin, it's so great. But it's not too great. Because if you're there, you can say no. And you can have victory. And then you can move on to the next grade. That's how it works. The test, the temptation. That's trouble, though. Boy, it's trouble. There are folks that are going through some stuff right now. I'll be honest with you, it's serious trouble for them. It is serious trouble. But let me tell you, praise God, He controls the thing. It's like you've heard me say before, you're in fourth grade and all of a sudden you get an eighth grader's test. Boy, that'd be mean, wouldn't it? That'd be terrible. Sounds like something Brother Chase might try. He would never do that. It's not fair. It's not right. I got news for you. Our God is always fair. He's always just. He's always right. He knows your file. He knows what you can handle. And if you're in a temptation, oh, I've been tempted not to tithe. Tithe. You can overcome. Yeah, but the pressure, it's so great. I can't pay my bills and I'm going to be in trouble. And what am I going to do? You're going to do right, because as you do right, then you move on and you grow and you become what God wants you to become. And you say no to the devil. You say yes to God and you pass the test. But oh, it's trouble. It really is. There's trouble of sorrow, trouble of test. There's trouble of reaping what you sow. That brings us a lot of trouble. It's like when I was a kid and I decided to play in Poison Ivy. That got me in serious trouble. Amen. You ever been in Poison Ivy trouble? I remember my sister had Poison Ivy too, and it was so bad for both of us. My grandparents took us to the doctor. We happened to be staying with them for a week. Took us to the doctor, and she went in, and the doctor gave her a shot. And guess what I did? I ran out to the car to be with Grandpa. I said, I'd rather scratch than have a shot. But you know, the Bible still says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. It's inevitable, folks. You know what's exciting, though, about the sowing and reaping? And what you sow, you do reap, but God is still involved in all that. And you understand, if you sow a weed, God can kill the weed. Now, He might not. But come on, let's be honest. We all deserve a whole lot worse, don't we? Come on, you've never gotten away with anything, but God has been good. Amen. I know I've never gotten away with anything, but I do know this. I know there is a God of mercy. And yes, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we bring a lot of bad trouble on ourselves, but praise God, He can be so merciful. Amen. There's a trouble of sorrow, there's trouble of test, there's trouble of reaping, there's trouble of chastening. Chastening. But you know, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And He chastens us because of love. I've had people come in and say, Pastor, how do I know if God's chastening me or not? And I say, well, you're a parent. When you spank your kids, do they know you're doing it? Now, they may be confused when you say time out. They may think it's a sports event. I got news for you. When you bring out the paddle and apply it, they know. I can't even imagine anybody not knowing if God's chastening them or not. First thing I always ask is, did you do something wrong? You know, preacher, I mean, we're all sinners. Come on. You know. I know. I know when God's chastening me. And that's trouble. But He's a loving God. And His chastening is loving. And He's always there with His arms to wrap around you and love you in chastening. Remember, His chastening is to teach, to discipline. There's a permission for trouble. There's the prediction of trouble. There's a period of trouble. There's the paths of trouble. And then the last thing, number five, is there's a purpose for trouble. And we don't know why we have trouble. We don't know all the different. I mean, we know why. We know because of sin. There's trouble. Man is born unto trouble. We're born in this world. We're sinners. We're transgressors. And we're going to have trouble. We're going to have trouble because of our sin. We're going to have trouble because we are sinners. We're going to have trouble just because of the sin that man committed. But the purpose, I broke it down into two things. First of all, Satan's purpose, because he has a purpose for your trouble. I mean, there's no question when you're in trouble, the devil's got something that he's trying to do with it. First of all, I think he wants to harm us. I think the devil had great delight in harming Job. I think the devil enjoyed touching Job with disease. I think as Job cried out in pain and screamed and scraped the sores and the pus from his arms, I think the devil delighted in that. The devil wants to harm us physically. Well, I think the devil also wants to harm us mentally. The Bible talks about the mind. I'm working on a message about the mind. And certainly the devil wants to harm us mentally. And you know, stress. Oh, he loves that. And he wants to harm us physically and mentally, and obviously he wants to harm us spiritually. Well, he has a purpose in your trouble. Understand this. Whatever your trouble is tonight, there's too much to mention. I mean, I just named several paths that I thought of. But understand, the devil, he has a purpose in that. Where he's trying to harm you. Physically, mentally, spiritually. The devil, his purpose, he wants to destroy your testimony. It's amazing how we can praise God and be all excited when everything's going good. But you know when your coworkers are watching you? It's when things are going bad. You know when your family watches you? It's when things are going bad. And Satan wants to destroy your testimony. I think of all the times that there was trouble and we faced trouble. And I believe that Satan was out to destroy my testimony with my dad and my mom, who some of those times they were not saved. I know many times Satan tries to destroy my testimony because I'm a pastor. Hey, Sunday school teacher, he'd love to destroy your testimony. Hey, bus captain, he's after your testimony too. Do you ever think that's why this trouble came? Well, God allowed it, but Satan's got a purpose too. Maybe his purpose is to discourage you. Let's be honest, these pews aren't full. A lot of empty seats. A lot of people are not here tonight because they got discouraged and quit. There's folks, you're right on the edge of it right now. You're discouraged, you're about to quit. Kind of like, what's the use? Yeah. Satan is trying to discourage you. That's why you have your trouble. That's his purpose in it. To cause you to quit. Keep in mind this. God allowed it. And he loves you. I'll tell you, sometimes trouble in my life, I stop and I think, why in the world is this happening to me? Anybody else ever say that? Yeah, I've said it so many times. And then I always stop and I think, but God, you know. And really, it doesn't matter why. What really matters is who allowed it. And it's a God that loves me. Satan has a purpose, though, and he wants us to quit. He wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to lose our testimony. He wants us to pout. He wants us to gripe. He wants us to criticize. He wants us to complain. He wants us to fight with each other. He wants us to blame somebody else. I mean, all these things Satan is doing with trouble in our lives. But the main purpose I want to look at tonight is simply God's purpose. What's God's purpose in my trouble? I mean, certainly, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. I mean, God is not certainly the one who brought that on. I brought that on myself. You brought it on yourself. But God still has a purpose in it. He wants us to see what sin is and how nasty it is. But God's purpose in our trouble, you know, the first thing I think of is the story of Job. And really, God wanted to prove something to the devil. Wasn't it God that issued the challenge? Consider my servant, Job. Where you been, devil? I've been all over the earth. I've been watching. I've been looking at your people. Hey, did you see Job? Did you see Job? Boy. Now, I don't think God said boy. But did you see Job? My servant, Job. Quite a servant. He loves me. The devil says, yeah, look what all you do for him. This stuff goes on. Yeah, look how you protect him. Look at his job you gave him. Look at the money you gave him. Look at all the things he has. Look at his land. Look at his animals. Look at his family. Yeah. Oh, sure. Of course. Of course Job would serve you. He's got it made. And God says, well, here's what you can do. And watch him. Have you ever thought of that? We so flippantly say, I'm willing to die for Jesus. But when God says, consider my servant and your name's there, you rebel, get upset, blame God, blame the church, blame Christians, and never stop and think, maybe God has chosen me to prove something to the devil. How do we give glory to God? Well, that's one way. To go through our trouble and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God's purpose, prove something to the devil. God's purpose, to let man choose. We see it all the time with God. He wants us to choose him. Always. God doesn't put a gun to any of us and say, you will choose me. God gives us a choice. Now, I know when you reach for that cigarette, you don't think about that being a choice between God and the devil, but it is. When you reach for the TV remote, I know you don't realize that programming is a choice between masters. I understand we don't see it that way, but that is a choice. God allows the trouble so that we'll choose him. God's purpose in trouble sometimes is so he can deliver us. How else do you explain Paul and Silas in jail? I don't know. How do you explain Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How do you explain Daniel? How do you explain Joseph? Throughout the scripture, how do you explain? I mean, God lets us get in trouble so he can deliver us. Some of the greatest testimonies that I hear and that I give are when God's delivered me. I've had people say, someone will give a testimony like that and how God blessed them. God delivered them from a trouble. And somebody come up and say, never happens to me. And I think, what in the world kind of a dummy are you? So here's somebody that is in deep financial trouble and God delivers them. And somebody else says, I want that. Okay. But I wonder if you would put yourself in that position to be delivered. Amen. Or would you get bitter? Quit. God's purpose. Prove something to the devil so that we choose him. So he can deliver us. Oh, I know one of his purposes. That is so we'll be closer to him. I know that to be a fact. A vine clings to a mighty oak. And then when a storm comes and the wind blows, if the wind is blowing out of one direction, the vine is sheltered by the tree. But if it's blowing out of the other direction, it's pushed closer to the oak, still safe. Sometimes God's our shelter. Sometimes he just wants us to get closer. All the time, he wants us to know that everything's okay. There's some troubles going on here in our church, people's lives. It's unbelievable. But I watch people and I see some folks, they know it's okay. It's all right. God is real and God is close and God is my shelter in the time of storm. And he's going to take care of me. And he will take care of you. But you don't know that until the trouble comes. I didn't know it until I had trouble. Yeah, it's one thing to hear it from a preacher. It's a whole other thing to know it in your own life. Amen. Another reason for trouble, I think, Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Look at it real quick. I'm just about done. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. We know this to be true. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. I'll submit to you, folks, you wouldn't even try the manna unless you were hungry. Amen. Which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And I've been in that wilderness and been hungry and found out that God's manna is the very best thing. But I never would have tried it had I not been hungry. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes he does let us get in so much trouble that we've just got to have him. Because we ourselves are insufficient to take care of our needs. Romans 5, verse 3. Man is born unto trouble. Romans 5, 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Glory? Rejoice? Tribulation? Yeah, because knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What's God's purpose? That we grow. That we grow. I talk to our college kids, and I hear some of the things that are their biggest headaches, and I kind of chuckle. I remember. I remember when that was a headache. I remember when that was a problem. They'll say, well, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. And I say, oh, you'll make it. You just keep going. Just do right. And I kind of chuckle. I remember when I said, I don't know if I can make it. I remember going and seeing Pastor Taylor and saying, I don't know if I can make it. And he'd just kind of smile and, oh, you can make it. You just keep going. Did God call you to do this? Yes, sir. Well, then you just keep going. He knows what he's doing. And I look back at some of those troubles and I think, wow. Old age sure does change things, doesn't it? You know what it is? It's called growth. That's all it is. You've been saved a while. You know what I'm talking about. And God allows trouble in our lives so that we'll grow, because we wouldn't grow any other way. You know, all this trouble, the economy and everything, did you ever think that it might be because you just need to grow? Did you ever think that maybe these financial problems and whatever you're going through, perhaps, did you ever think that it might be because you just need to grow in the Lord? See, if it's trouble of sorrow, then again, you're in a position you just have to trust and learn what God has to teach you. If it's a test of some kind, then just do right. Amen. Just do right. You can pass the test. If it's reaping what you sow, then just say, God, I don't want to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. I've learned my lesson. Amen. If it's chastening, then get right with God and fall down at his feet and say, God, be merciful to me. You know, I'm reminded of David when he numbered the people. God gave him a choice and he said, let me now fall into the hands of God. Why? Because God's merciful. Amen. Amen. But I can tell you this, God gave his permission. If you have some trouble in your life, there's a prediction. It's going to come if it hadn't come yet. There's a period of time. It'll last. There's a path it'll take. But there's a purpose. Satan has a purpose. God has a purpose. Ultimately, we just need to do right. Trust the Lord through it. and be what God wants us to be because of it. You will never go through anything that you can't handle. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter. You know, again, I'm talking to saved people. You'll never go through something that you cannot pass the test. It will not happen. God loves you, and God is watching over you, and God knows you're born unto trouble, just like I am, just like all of us are, and He knows we can have victory through trouble. Let's all bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many would say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart tonight about something. Please pray for me." Raise your hand. I want to remind you, we are having the Lord's Supper right after this. Anyone else? Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Father, bless the invitation. Help us to understand the trouble that we're born unto. Help us to know that it's because of our sin that there is any trouble. It could have been a perfect environment. But help us to realize that you watch over everything and that you have your hand on our trouble. And God, you'll give us the victory if we'll just choose right. Help us to do that. I pray in Jesus' name.